I'm preaching on the subject, it's hard to hug a porcupine. It's hard to hug a porcupine. Got your attention, don't I? Luke chapter 13 and the 34th verse, the words of Jesus. The only thing I can guarantee you of in this sermon tonight is it will be a little longer than Judson's. Judson, I've listened to your sermon 3 times already this week. And sure was blessed by that on Sunday night, wasn't you? He did a great job. And all of the young people, the children on Sunday night, what a tremendous, tremendous job they did. Luke chapter 13, the words of Jesus in the 34th verse, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, which killeth the prophets, and stonest them that are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, as a hen doth gather her brood under her wings, and what's the next 3 words? Ye would not. Ye would not. I don't believe that God makes anyone do what they don't want to do. And I think this is the proof of it right here. There's no doubt when you read this verse that you can see the love of God, the love of Christ at its greatest, the compassion of Christ at its greatest, and the concern of Christ at his greatest. He looked on the city, and he wasn't talking about just the city limits itself. The buildings, that's not what concerned him. It was the people that were there in the city of Jerusalem. And the fact that they had not recognized his purpose for coming, and even though that they had done horrible things, they had killed the prophets, they had stoned those that had come unto him, and he knew in the end they would crucify him. But still his love was reaching out to them to say, if you only knew what I could do for you and what I want to do for you, I want to bring you to a place of protection and a place of safety and a place where that you'll know that I'll care and provide for you. But there was one problem. They wouldn't do it. They wouldn't do it. And we're at a place as well that sometimes I somewhat wrestle with this message because I know the impact of what I'm going to say tonight, and it's not that it is negative, but I'm going to share a couple of things from my heart. One thing that has confused me as a pastor is why people won't let you minister to them. It's the same problem that Jesus had. I've said it from this pulpit. We'll minister to anybody that will allow us to. But yet, we can't override the choice of people. If they don't want us to, we can't. And just standing here merely preaching it, that's not what will make the difference in your life. Jesus said, I want to bring you in. I want to bring you close to me. But in the end, you have a decision to make. You have to allow him to do that. He's not going to make me get close to him. He's not going to make me love him or make me live for him. He's saying, I'm trying to get close to you if you'll let me. But if you won't let him, he won't override your will. Now, if Jesus wouldn't override the will of people, we can't override the will of people either. We can't make people go to heaven. We can't make people live for the Lord. We can't make people do right. We can be concerned when they don't. We can have compassion. We can have pity, because I think these are words of pity. Even though they were guilty of everything he was saying, he still cared for them and was trying to do all that he could to bring them in. When I read that passage, I couldn't help but go to a documentary that I had studied some years ago. And do you know that a porcupine has 30,000 quills on it? 30,000 quills on it. And a porcupine, it's funny. When they are approached by someone, not knowing if they're friend or enemy, they'll always do one of two things. They'll either run, if they can, they'll avoid them, they'll try to climb the tree, they'll try to get away. Or if they feel threatened, they'll swat at them. If they swat at something they think is an enemy, they usually use their tail and the quills embed in the flesh of the enemy. And did you know that when the quills embed, they detach? And when they detach, did you know the heat from the victim's body, the body heat, causes the quills to swell, making it practically impossible to pull them out. Then in time, they fester and get infected, and if enough quills are left there, and if left untreated, the infection can attack an organ and it can be fatal to them. But yet, you never read of porcupines being lovable, huggable animals. In fact, they don't even like one another. I think I can prove it to you. I tried to find a word for a group of porcupine. You know, we've got words for all other groups. We talk about a pack of wolves or a herd of cattle or a colony of ants or a flock of sheep or a school of fish or you know what a group of turkey are called? Candy? Rafter. Got it. A group of turkey. Did you learn something? Yeah. A gaggle of geese? But you don't read of porcupines having a group because they stay to themselves. And that's the way that they live their life. You see, porcupine literally means the irritable back. That's what the word means. And porcupines, because of that, it makes it hard for them to have any relationships. Now, I'm going to deal with a subject about relationships in the church. If you're in the church, you have relationships with people. And the goal is that they reciprocate in those relationships. But if they don't reciprocate, what do we do? I want to report to you, we got some porcupines in Rubyville. They will either withdraw or they'll attack. You know, when they withdraw, just poof, they're gone. You don't see them. I want to say this to you because I think the Wednesday night crowd is mature enough that you can handle some things that other services can't handle. But I want to make this clear. If you withdraw from this church, you might as well not pout at me for not chasing you because I'm not going to chase you. I'm not going to do it. I never have. I never will. People get upset with me over that. My experience has been when people just withdraw and poof, they're gone. The more that I chase them, even if we bring them back, we've got a bigger problem on our hands. Because there was a problem that made them leave. And usually, if it's not that, then they tell me a lot of stuff that they shouldn't tell me. And then they feel like they can never come back because now the preacher knows so many things that they can't take back. And that's a warning to us as well. Be careful what we do because there's some things you can never take back. But 9 out of 10 times, at least in my ministry, from what I have checked, I believe 9 out of 10 times when people withdraw or when they attack, 9 out of 10 times, it's not theological, it's not doctrinal, it's relational. They're having relationships problems. There's somebody in the church that they can't get along with, and that may be me. But there's somebody that they can't get along with. And when you try to reach out to people in spite of that, sometimes it can be difficult. Because even though that they are withdrawing, and even though that we see them attacking sometimes, leading up to that, we want to do everything that we can to minister to others. That's our goal. We want to reach out and try to minister to people. But what do you do when there's a porcupine that won't let anybody get close to them? You've never had a person? Yeah. I'm backing up on that. Yeah. Let's do it the biblical way tonight. I'm going to give you God's cure for porcupines in the church. You want to hear it? Amen. Good. Turn to Psalm 133. Psalm 133. Most of you know it by heart. Psalm 133. There's only 3 verses in it. Psalm 133. You'll know it probably when I start reading it. You'll know most of it by heart. Psalm 133 and verse 1. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard that went down to the skirts of his garment, as the dew of Hermon and as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life forevermore. I love to preach about two things. I love to preach about the gospel of Jesus Christ, and I love to preach about the unity of the church. Because the gospel, as far as I'm concerned, is the heart of the church, and unity is the glue of the church. I think the gospel is what makes us right with God, and I think unity is what makes us right with each other. And a church that doesn't dwell together in unity, soon the glue is no longer there, and that church falls apart through time. So he's telling us in this how good and how pleasant it is for the brethren to dwell in unity. This was taking place on a psalm of ascent. As they were ascending in this psalm, it was one of the 15 psalms that they would sing on their way to climb the mountain to the house of God to worship God. And the unity was there because of three basic reasons. And it's the same three reasons that we'll have unity in this church. The unity was there under these three common bonds. Number one, they all had a need for God. Is there anybody here tonight that doesn't need God? I need the Lord. You need the Lord. We've got something in common. We all need God, and we all need God's help. And we're dependent on God. And without Him, we can't have our needs met. We need Him for forgiveness of sin. We need Him for help and for protection. That's what Jesus was saying to Jerusalem. You need me, and you don't realize that you need me. And what we have to understand, we're on common ground. Even though we come from different places and different walks of life, there's something we have in common, and that is we need God. The other thing is, they were united in their love for God. They loved God enough to come to church. You love God enough to come to church. That's why you're here on a Wednesday night. Now, some people, I realize, they can't help that they can't help not being here. There's things that come up. I understand all that. But I'm here to tell you, most people don't go to church because they just don't love God. They love the world. They love the things of the world. But they just don't love God. You ought to say amen. You're here tonight. If we love God, we'll keep His commandments. And among the commandments that He gives us in the New Testament is not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. I'm here tonight for one reason, and that is I love the Lord Jesus Christ. I love what He's done for me. I love what He's doing for me. I love that He gave me a church family that I can worship with. I love to come to church and tell Him how much that I love Him. And the truth of the matter is, if you can be here and you simply choose not to, whatever you choose other means that you love that more than you love God. I feel a little bit of that unity. I'm going to scare the porcupines out here in a minute. I feel some of that leaving, but the truth is the truth. We come because we love God. We come because we need God. And the third reason, they had a common bond. They were all going to the same place. They were going to God's house for one purpose, and that was to worship the Lord. We all need God. We all love God, and we all come to worship God. What did you come for tonight? Just to look around and spend an hour of time? I've come to bless His name and thank Him for what He has done. And we all have that basic need. We are at our best when we worship God. So we come with that same purpose. And when that happens, he says two or three things take place. First of all, he says it's good and how pleasant it is for the brethren to dwell in unity. That word pleasant is what caught my attention. The word pleasant in the Hebrew has several meanings. The word pleasant is used for beautiful. He says it's beautiful to see people operate in unity. And it is a beautiful thing. So it looks great when God looks down and he says, you're in unity. That looks great. It's beautiful. There's nothing any more beautiful than seeing people come together in unity for one cause. And we've just about lost that in the church world. I'm not talking about just us. There's no unity among the churches. Everybody's doing their own thing, going their own direction. But folks, God says that it pleases him to look down, and it's beautiful to see people coming together for the cause, to tell others we need him, we love him, and we've come to worship him. Not only means beautiful, but it also means that it can be sweet. So it not only looks great, it tastes great. Life is sweeter when you come together in unity. I'm very sincere in what I'm about to say. My whole week changed Sunday morning sunrise service. I mean, I was looking for a great week anyway, but my whole week changed. If you weren't here at sunrise service Sunday morning, we did something for the first time in this church that we ever did. When we broke bread, we took the bread, and before we took of it, we all took the bread and we broke the bread. And when you heard that bread break, and it reminded us how Jesus was broken for us, it brought a unity. Am I the only one that felt that on Sunday? And I've thought about that 100 times since Sunday. He was broken. He was the one that was divided, that we could come together in unity through the bonds and peace of God and the blood of Jesus Christ. And unity tastes sweet. You don't think it tastes sweet? You just go to churches that don't have unity, where there's just division and drama and discord. It's not sweet. It's miserable. It's miserable to the world. When the world looks at us and they see us in unity, they say, that tastes good. Oh, taste of the Lord and see that he's good. Then the third thing that it relates to is it relates to listening to lovely music or singing that is enjoyable. It's pleasant, enjoyable singing. Have you ever heard singing that's not enjoyable? We've all been there. Have you ever listened to music that wasn't enjoyable? A car pulled up beside of me this week. I'm sitting at the red light. My windows are up. Their windows are up. And I'm telling you, I thought I was passing a kidney stone. Boom, 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 boom. And I thought, I know you can't hear it because I'm almost deaf in the car beside of you. Couldn't hear one word, couldn't understand one word. I don't know if they could hear one word or understand one word either. That wasn't enjoyable for me. But here they are going to worship God, and they're singing as they go. They're singing and worship and praise. There's nothing any more pleasant than for folks to have a song in their heart when they come to church and lift their voice in praise to God and sing in unity for what God has done. So it's pleasant. And then he goes on to say, he gives us two pictures. He says, unity is like the precious ointment on the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, that went down to the skirts of his garment. The other picture is as the dew of Hermon and as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion. Two pictures. One was when the high priest was anointed. Because see, if the high priest wasn't anointed, then the high priest was disqualified to offer up the sacrifice. He had to be anointed, then offer up the sacrifice for the people. If he was anointed, then he was able to offer sacrifice as a covering for the sins of the people. And spiritually, the people had life because their sins had been forgiven by God and covered by the blood. Then he talks about Hermon. Hermon is 10,000 feet above sea level, Mount Hermon. On Mount Hermon itself, because it's 10,000 feet above sea level, clouds form around the mountain. And everything is so lush and green on that mountain. But not only does it benefit from it, but Zion is down in the plains, in the lower levels below Mount Hermon. But those clouds, there's so much moisture that it descends down from the mountain. And the dry and the arid places, they receive dew because of the lush, fertile hills and mountains of Mount Hermon. So they benefit from the top of the mountain as it comes down. And because of that, everything turns green. And what was dead has life because the dew descends from it. So it's talking about physical life. What he's saying this is unity does two things. It gives us spiritual life and it gives us physical life. If you think it doesn't affect your life physically when there's no unity, you stay out of unity when fellowship with somebody and you see how it'll plague you. It'll keep you awake at night. It'll rob you of sleep. It'll rob you of joy. It'll take your appetite. It'll consume your thoughts, make you non-productive. It'll tie your stomach in knots. And pretty soon, physically, you're ill because of lack of unity. So it gives life. How do you know if a porcupine's in the church? They're dead. Spiritually, they're dead. There's no life. They pout when people get blessed. They get angry when people worship God. That's not going over too good. Maybe I better move right along. What he's saying to us is we get the same benefits from unity that David said the high priest and the people got, and the same benefits that Zion got, even though it was a long way away from the top of that mountain that was 10,000 feet above sea level. They benefited from it because they were the recipients of the dew, recipients of the moisture. Do you know there's a lot of things through unity when we're unified in Christ that it comes down from heaven and God blesses us with life and God blesses us with newness, all because of unity. So I ask you two or three questions. Number one, do you need God? Do you need God? Number two, do you love God? Number three, do you worship God? How good and pleasant it is for the brethren to dwell in unity. Sometimes before church starts, you may see me come up on the platform a few moments before church starts. It's because I'm watching you all. Not negatively, positively. I listen to the rumble of voices. I see people milling and talking to one another. I see them going to people that's there visiting for the first time. Sometimes it's hard to get you settled down to start church. But it's good because it's unity. You're speaking to one another. You're talking to one another. You're enjoying one another. Because you see, if we need God and we love God and we worship God, we're able to enjoy others that need God and love God and worship God. Now, I can't help what a porcupine does, but I can help what I do. We're going to find out if we have any porcupines tonight. If they can hug you and you not run away, if they can hug you and you not attack, pretty good sign you're not a porcupine. If you got the love of God in you and the praise of God's coming from you and the need for God is deep inside of you, hey, folks, we're going to heaven together, but we don't have to wait until heaven to enjoy one another. Amen. We really don't. I'm not saying that everybody's going to love you and everybody's going to care for you and that everything all the time is going to be perfect. It's not that way. It's not that way. You'd be amazed how many people in this church that I pastor don't like me. Some of you just saying, oh, you don't, You trust me on it. I've sat down to eat dinner at the right place more than once. And you better be careful. You don't know who's listening to you while you're talking. But I don't care what they say. I can still love them. I can't make you love me, but I can make it hard for you not to love me. You might get out of sorts because you're out of step with God, but still, I'm responsible to reach out to you to love you. And we're responsible as a church family to love one another. And this is what I want you to do. I want you to scan this church over, and I want to ask you a question. Is there people here tonight that you don't know the name of? Go ask them. Go ask them. Is there people here tonight that it's been a while since you told them? I'm glad I'm going to heaven with you. You ought to go tell them. Let's stand together. I'll just give you a minute. I just want to hear the sound of unity tonight. I want to let the devil know that he's not winning out, that we made our mind up, we love the Lord, we need the Lord, and we come to worship the Lord. That's the sound of unity. That's the sound of worship. Do you hear that? The sound of unity. Boy, isn't it good to love God and love one another? No wonder the Bible says, behold how they love one another.